Joel, have you seen this video? And I know that Donnie and Chris wanted to get to it in the hodgepodge if the Watt news didn't break. But did you see the video of this CEO and this lady that works for him at the Coldplay concert?
Oh yeah, I did see that. How do you not miss? How do you miss it?
What are we doing? So my thought about that and like how you could tie it into this show was, is there a Pittsburgh sports equivalent to that going on? And the only thing that I could really think of that I thought was kind of funny, obviously both of those individuals that were caught on the Jumbotron are married. So like my Pittsburgh sports equivalent to that would be like if Pony was the CEO's wife and the guy was John Lynch and the girl was Brandon Ayuk. Like Pony's under the impression.
That's right.
That Ayuk's going to be a Steeler. And then there's the GM of the Niners and the receiver getting caught together. So if anybody has if you're familiar with the clip going around that's made waves today before TJ Watt's news and have a Pittsburgh sports equivalent, hit up the text line at 412-928-9370. All right, to the bigger news of the day, the more relevant news in this town, TJ Watt, now a Steeler for at least the next 4 years, a shiny new extension that makes him the highest paid non-quarterback ever. We just got done chatting about it with Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. We now go to another member of the Steelers beat, who does a phenomenal job of covering your Pittsburgh Steelers. It's PennLive.com's Nick Farabaugh, who joins us on the fan video stream. Nick, good to see you, buddy. How did your evening change from, I don't know, like lunchtime to dinner time? Spring into action, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, it changed significantly. You know, I was just kind of chilling, thinking it was any other day, doing some training camp planning just for next week, and then all of a sudden, here comes the TJ Watt news. The Steelers, man, the Steelers stay active, don't they? It's never been a dead period this offseason for the Steelers. They just keep making moves, man. They get TJ Watt done now.
How surprised are you that it happened now, before training camp?
A little bit, because I'll tell you this, Jack, you know, I wrote a column today where I said they weren't close. And the reason I said that is because yesterday I was texting with a source who told me that. And it has come together really quickly. You know, this deal came together fast, from what I know. You know, if you talk to anybody earlier this week, late last week, they're like, we're still pretty far apart. But the communication was always open between the two sides. They had really good communication. TJ never went dark on them. They never went dark on TJ. It's not like Terry McLaurin's deal where he hasn't had talks with the Commanders in a month. This was always an evolving situation. And so, hey, one side kind of compromises on one thing. The other side compromises on another. And that's what I think happened here is TJ Watt got his guaranteed money. He compromised on contract length. And the Steelers got their contract length and compromised on the guaranteed money. So everyone wins in terms of that, and that's why this came together so quickly. They were always really close on raw money. The Steelers were willing to make him the highest paid non-quarterback in football. TJ wanted to be the highest non-paid quarterback in football. It was guaranteed money and contract length. They compromised on it, and boom, there you have it.
So as the focus now turns to training camp and Watt being there and being a full participant, like how much of TJ Watt in training camp and throughout the regular season, like at this point, does he work on moving around on this defense and being utilized in different ways? Because that was a giant gripe from the fan base of him sticking to one side of the line pretty much all season long. And it obviously ended up stalling out towards the end of the season. So how much do you anticipate Watt being asked about it? Number one, but number two, you know, working on it and the Steelers being willing to move that guy around.
Yeah, well, TJ said at the end of last year that he wanted to move around. Alex Highsmith said in May they're working on that. I think TJ's been practicing that. I don't know if you've seen the picture of him and Nick Herbig.
Yeah.
He looks absolutely huge. He looks jacked. Looks more like a power rusher than a speed rusher in that photo. And I don't think that's a coincidence. He's 30, going to be 31. The explosiveness isn't always going to be there. The more power he puts into his game, the better he's going to age. So that's going to be part of this. But moving him around is necessary. I mean, not only that, they need to run stunts. They need to overload blitzes to his side. They need to do things that are a little bit more tricky to keep teams off guard. They can't just sit back and ship him. He can't be a wide nine off the right tackle every single snap. They got to move him around a little bit. He's probably not going to be as productive on the left side. He's probably not going to be as productive if he's over the A or the B gap, and that's understandable, but he can be still really effective. So can Alex Highsmith. It allows you to do different things, do different looks, and that's why when you put TJ then back at right tackle and on the wide nine side of things, he's going to be able to win easier. So they need to help him out. He's not what he was when he was 26. He's still a really good player. He was very good before the injuries started to really get at him at the end of last year, but he needs a little more help right now, and the Steelers can do that very easily. So moving around, I mean, that feels like a basic thing. Every rusher in the NFL does it, except for TJ Watt. So I think they got to do it, man.
Nick Fairbaugh chatting with us on the fan video stream. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, where do you ultimately come down on the extension for what it was worth, for how long it was, and for the player that TJ Watt is now?
Well, I think they had to make the move, given the context of the offseason. I think it was necessary. I think there's risk involved in this. As I kind of mentioned, we're talking about a speed rusher that's going to be 31, and you guaranteed him money through his age 33 season. You know, you can probably get out of the last year this deal, given how it's structured, but you can't get out of it before 2027. So that's a risk, right? If you take an aging edge rusher that is primarily built on speed and hasn't shown you he can be a primarily power rusher yet, he could easily fall off. The kind of comparison I'll use here is Khalil Mack, because Khalil Mack basically had this happen to him in a very similar way. He got traded from Chicago to Los Angeles. He spent the last 3 years with the Chargers. He's had 8 sacks, 17 sacks, and 6 sacks, all while being a premier run defender. If TJ Watt averages, 11 to 12 sacks per year over the next 3 seasons, plus gives you premier run defense, I mean, I think that's a fine deal considering where they're at. You know, in 2 years from now, this deal's probably going to look pretty cheap compared to what some of them are getting. The salary cap's only going up. So, I mean, it's a fine deal. There's definitely risk involved. This can become a negative asset very quickly, Jack. If he doesn't kind of translate the power in his game and he loses his explosiveness, this can easily become an albatross contract right in the middle of a potential competitive window for the Steelers too, because if we're taking rookie quarterback into consideration, you draft him in 26, your first year of the window is 27. I mean, Watt could be an absolute albatross of a contract for team building purposes in that year. But if he's really good, I'm fine with it. I wouldn't be over the moon over it, but it's fine. The biggest thing, Jack, they could have gotten this cheaper if they just done it earlier. I wish they were more proactive. They could have gotten him for $35 million per year, $36 million per year, like the Raiders did for Max Crosby. The Raiders are the smartest franchise of this edge rusher market. Max Crosby's getting paid $35.5 million per year. That is an absolute steal of a contract for Max Crosby. That could have been the Steelers and TJ Watt. They need to be more proactive when paying the superstars.
Yeah, and I think that they, if they would have had, you know, hindsight is very much 20-20 for the Steelers at this point. But if, you know, Omar Khan or Mike Tomlin were asked about it, like, yeah, I'm sure at this point that they would have preferred to get it done earlier. Why didn't it? Were the Steelers just putting it on the back burner for some other things, maybe? Had to figure things out at quarterback, Field/Wilson, had to figure out what they were doing with their number one receiver and George Pickens. Like, why did it take for them one extra offseason for them to figure this out with TJ Watt, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. They also just aren't a team that does that. I mean, when was the last time, you know, a guy had 2 years left on his deal and they extended him? I can't remember the last time that happened. They don't really extend their players before the NFL draft because there's not a ton of clarity on salary cap in the free agency period, but they should. I think that's the one thing. And so I just think it's kind of this longstanding tradition the Steelers have, which is we talk contract from the end of the draft until the start of the season, and that's our window. We're not going to talk in the season. We're not going to talk before the draft. We're going to focus on free agency, focus on the draft, nothing of the sort otherwise. And I think that needs to change. I think it really is something that needs to change. Good teams extend guys early. They get these types of deals. The Lamar Jackson deal in Baltimore is one of the biggest coups in the NFL because the Ravens were really proactive in getting it done. And they're going to do it again. You're going to probably re-sign him. And so that's something that they do really well. The Ravens do this extremely well. I think of just really good teams that look ahead. Like, the Lions are going to sign Aiden Hutchinson after his third year in the league. And it's going to be a good deal. They're going to pay him $42, $43 million per year. But in 2 years, when he would have gotten paid otherwise, it's going to be a steal of a deal by then. And like, that's what good teams do. And so that's one of the traditions I'd like the Steelers to crack. It doesn't necessarily have to be the summer before, it could be, but really start talking with them, you know, in February. Start getting these deals done in March. I mean, Garrett's deal got done in March. Crosby's deal got done in March. Danielle Hunter got a deal in March. Movement in markets happened before then. And so the Steelers should have more proactivity towards their superstars to get hometown discounts. This is how you get hometown discounts.
That is Nick Faribault. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. And Nick, when you say the term, you know, cracking traditions, one of the ones that has been cracked, and I had mentioned this with Mike in the last segment, is the amount of guaranteed money that the Steelers have been issuing out the last couple of seasons. Tom Pelissero pointed this out. DK Metcalf, $132 million over 4 years. Watts, $123 million over three. How much of that is Omar Khan's influence as the general manager of this club and the fingerprints that he tries to lay, you know, on this franchise as his tenure really starts to take shape here?
Yeah, I mean, he has absolutely changed some of the things that they have done. They're paying big money to outside external players now. It's not just, you know, free agents, it's trades, right? I mean, DK Metcalf got an absolutely huge contract in that trade. Patrick Queen got a nice deal. They trade for Jalen Ramsey. That's a big contract. They gave $10 million guaranteed, fully guaranteed to Darius Slay. I mean, they are giving lots of guaranteed money out. They are giving charitable money out. It's not like they are it's not like you know, they're underselling some of these guys. I mean, they're paying them top market money. And that's the things the Steelers wouldn't do. 30-year guarantees. The Steelers have done it twice now. They guaranteed DK Metcalf his third year. TJ Watt got a guaranteed third year. So that's no longer a precedent. So everything trade, everything contract, it's modernized. Steelers are players in a modern game now. And I think more of what needs to happen is continuing that, right? Start, you know, data-driven work in kind of the front office. That's kind of come along a little bit with Omar Khan, but I'd like to see the analytics staff a little bigger. That's something I'd like to see. Again, we talk about the proactivity. I'd like to see that kind of go a little more. I don't care if they keep the don't kind of talk in season one. I think that one is fine. I think, you know, lots of teams do it, but I don't bash the Steelers for not doing it. So there's more that he can even do, but he has completely changed how the Steelers have worked at just a level in free agency and towards external free agents. They now can be players for big fish rather than making the one marginal move, and that was it.
So what's the story now going into training camp? Obviously, it was what the hell is going on with TJ Watt, and now that the offseason is pretty much all but complete and these guys are ready to roll next week in Latrobe, like, what is this Steelers storyline heading into training camp 2025?
I mean, listen, there's many storylines, right? It's what wide receiver two look like, Juan Thornhill, Jalen Ramsey's role. Like, there are storylines. But the real storyline is, does this Steelers team have it what it takes to be competitors in the AFC? I mean, that's going to be the storyline all season. It's the storyline starting in training camp. Every bit of it matters because they have set themselves up, Jack, to where they have stamped a bit of urgency on this year and said, we're going to win a playoff game. You don't make the moves they made without winning a playoff game. A lot of win now moves this year, despite tailoring up for your quarterback next year, you want to win this year. So anything other than a playoff berth with a wild card win is a failure. It is. It's point blank a failure. And so I think, how do you get there? And so there's a bunch of stories. I think the biggest storyline I'm going to be paying attention to, Jack, is the offensive line. I still think this season is going to ride or die on Broderick Jones, Mason McCormick, Troy Fautanu, Zach Frazier, and Isaac Seumalo. Those five guys are the most important five guys we are going to watch every Sunday. I mean it. If they are good, this team can have a chance to do things. If that offensive line doesn't take a step forward, it is going to be ground into the dust. Aaron Rodgers is going to be hit often. You're going to increase his risk of injury. You're not going to run the ball efficiently. Everything hinges on the offensive line. And so that, to me, is the storyline of the offseason. It's going to be the storyline of training camp. And so when we put in the context of the bigger storyline, I'm focused most on the offensive line because I think they are the key to this season.
couple more quick hitters for Nick Faerbaugh of PennLive.com before we say goodbye. First one, Cam Hayward at 83, Patrick Queen at 75 as the NFL unveils its top 100 for 2025. Where do you come down on where those two guys rank, and who are we going to see be unveiled as the rankings continue?
Yeah, I mean, I very much think Cam Hayward should be much higher than that. I thought he was the best player on the team last year, to be quite honest with you. I don't think Patrick Queen was a top 100 player in football last year. I obviously TJ Watt, I think, is going to be on this list. Probably going to see Jalen Ramsey as well. Minka might even crack this list. We'll see. I know he's a former Steeler now, but I think those three are pretty obviously going to make the list for the Steelers. I think DK Metcalf probably would have already appeared if he had been on it. So I think those three are the guys you're looking at.
Last one for you. I mean, it'll do this to Dallas now because of Micah Parsons, but even another way that this might help the Steelers out, that being TJ Watt's extension, like this resets the market a little bit. Trey Hendrickson still needs a contract. So, and with the way that that has gone, does this TJ Watt extension make Trey Hendrickson's situation worse in Cincinnati?
Yeah, it complicates it more. I know the communication channels have opened up there again, so at least there's that for the Bengals. But, like, remember when I was talking about the Steelers being proactive? What in the world are the Bengals doing?
I mean, they haven't signed their first-round pick yet either. So
right, they haven't signed Shamar Stewart. This is ugly. I mean, they ended up paying so much more money to Chase and Higgins because they just waited so long. They just signed them the year before. They would have gotten discounts on them. Those contracts would look great. They'd be able to sign guys on defense and a guard and things they actually need other than a quarterback and two really good receivers. That's something that definitely is going to have windfall. And I do expect them to sign Trey Hendrickson before the season starts, but it's going to be a big contract and it's going to hurt their ability to add to the defense and add around Joe Burrow. And that is just a shame because they have a core here that could really compete for the Super Bowl, but I think mismanagement is hurting them.
That's Nick Faerbaugh. You can check him out at PennLive.com. Covers the Steelers. Nick, always a pleasure chatting with you, my friend, and I will see you next week.
Yeah, man. See you next week. Thanks for having me on, brother.
You got it. There he goes. Nick Faerbaugh. Check him out at PennLive.com. Larry and Plum, you have been incredibly, incredibly patient. Thanks for staying on hold, brother. You want to talk about TJ Watt? What's on your mind? Good evening, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think it was a huge mistake to sign TJ Watt. Huge mistake. You don't pay for what a player was. You pay for what he's going to be, right? And this team, I just don't understand why they would make this move. What's the harm in letting this guy play out one more year of his contract and then getting it done next year if he still has something left in the tank, or franchising him or trading him? Like, in my mind, I believe that the Steelers are nowhere close to winning a Super Bowl. And so what I would do if I were them is I would try to amass as many draft picks as possible so that you could either trade up and get a quarterback early in the first round next year, or, you know, amass as many picks as you can and bring in as many players as you can. Because the reality is TJ Watt, his time has come and gone. He's past his prime. The best thing that they can do is let him walk. Like, I agreed with trading Minka Fitzpatrick. I just don't agree with the return. They should have just got draft picks for him. And that's the thing. I think they should have traded TJ Watt and got draft picks for him. That's it. I mean, I don't understand, Larry.
I'm not dismissing your opinion. And for the most part, I kind of agree with you. I don't think the Steelers are Super Bowl contenders, but it doesn't matter what you or I think. The Steelers think they are Super Bowl contenders. That's the reason why they've constructed this roster the way that they have. And because TJ Watt was the last domino to fall, with the cap situation the way it is, and the fact that they aren't paying a quarterback right now, they needed to pay TJ Watt. If they wanted to, truthfully, and Nick and I were just talking about it, they should have done this a year ago if they wanted to bring him back. And hindsight is very much 2020 at this point. But, like, they don't have to pay a quarterback right now. They can afford the contract, and they think that they can win now. Like, why not give that guy the money, especially because by the time this contract runs out, whether you like it or not, the quarterback that we all want them to draft in 2026 will not be due to be paid yet.
No, I understand where they're coming from. I just think that they're living in kind of la-la land, and I think they don't have any direction as an organization. They need to look at the team across the state, for how it's done. Because the Eagles, it's crazy to say that, are the premier franchise in football. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, Howie Roseman, I'll agree with you there. That, Larry, thanks for staying patient, man. The Steelers think they can win. That's what it boils down to. And T.J. Watt makes them a better football team. T.J. Watt is still a very, very good player in this league and deserves every single penny that he got. It's fine that you want to sit here and say that the Steelers need to gather draft picks out the wazoo and rebuild for the 2026 draft and look to the future. That is totally okay to have that opinion. And in retrospect, I agree with a lot of that. But that's not the way the Steelers have gone about this offseason. And Larry says, oh, they're living in la-la land. They don't really have a true direction. They have more direction now than they did in 2021, 2022, 2023, and even last year. You know, think about what Najee Harris and his situation right now sucks. I feel horrible for that guy. Think about what Najee Harris said about this team once he signed with the Chargers. On multiple occasions to the media, like, I didn't feel, when I say I'm speaking for Najee Harris because he said this, we didn't have much of an identity in Pittsburgh on offense. That is as true as the cows come home. The Steelers didn't have an identity on offense. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have a good offensive coordinator, and the offensive line was in shambles. They were relying on their defense to carry the weight, and that's the wrong way of doing things. Is the defense right now much better than the offense going into 2025? Yeah, maybe. Maybe the defense really still is the strength of this team. But they have an identity in Arthur Smith. They have a competent enough offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith who has X, Y, and Z as far as goals are concerned. And if X and Y are a big-ass offensive line and some pretty good tight ends, well, the Steelers have that right now. And Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth and a good offensive line. A young and exciting offensive line. There is more identity to this team right now than there has been in recent years past. The last couple of years since Ben retired. Which is why this team thinks they can win now. Agree or disagree, that's the way this roster's been constructed. And agree or disagree, TJ Watt fits into those plans. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. It's a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The phone lines are back open. 412-928-9370. How does the TJ Watt contract extension sit with you? I'm all for it. 3 years that gives this team a four-year window without paying a quarterback where I'm all in. And I'm expecting TJ Watt to bounce back big time in 2025. Do you agree or disagree? 412-928-9370. Your calls after the break. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan Evening Show. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Nick Faribault in the last segment joined us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. My name is Jack Hillgrove. This is the Fan Evening Show. Somebody tweeted at me during the break, honestly, do you have a TJ Watt jersey? Because I sound like a total fanboy jersey-owning, wearing Yinzer. Thanks for listening, for number one. To answer your question, no, I don't have a TJ Watt jersey. I have a Kenny Pickett jersey. So, ha! Didn't definitely spend $100 on that and not being able to wear it 2 years later. In your face, guy. No, in all seriousness, like, you know, heaven forbid that I want my favorite football team to keep its stars in Pittsburgh for as long as possible. Number one. Number two, it's not like the Steelers are financially crippling themselves by this deal. It's actually incredibly team favorable. According to guys like Nick Faribault and Mike DeFabo, much more plugged in than yours truly. Watt compromised. Watt said, I want to be the highest paid non-quarterback and have a four-year extension. Steelers say, we'll make you the highest paid non-QB, but how about three? That was the biggest hurdle. The Steelers reportedly won that. This is a good deal. But I want to hear what you think on the fan hotline. Let's start with Kenny in Greensburg. Oh, hello, Kenny. How you doing, man? You're on the air.
Hey, Kurt. Am I on?
Yes, sir. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Listen, TJ is overpaid, overrated, and has under-expectated everything, and he should. I'm sorry if I'm yelling, but this bothers me. I've been listening to this for a while, and I called in. I actually won Pantera tickets the other night, and I hit the wrong button, and I lost it. So anyway, listen, he should have been traded. He should have been traded and got a whole bunch of other players for him because he's overrated.
Kenny,
I could run circles around this jerk.
We're not entertaining that. No, you can't. If you could, you'd be in the NFL and you wouldn't be calling my talk show. Next, how about Unitas? In parentheses, like the quarterback, writes producer Joel Nelson. He wants to talk TJ Watt calling from Cranberry. What's up, man? Good evening.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hope I make a little bit more valid points than the last person that was just on.
Yeah, as long as you don't think you're a better athlete than TJ Watt, you and I will get along swimmingly.
No, I'm definitely not. That man is an absolute beast. There is nobody in the league right now that deserves it more than him. He's a disruptor. You need that on a team. He's the leadership. Who else are we going to have as leadership on this team? We let him go. Cam's on his way out. Mika's gone. There's nobody there to lead that team. You get rid of him, there's no one leading. That being said, I don't know what everybody thinks we're going to get all these players from. We don't have a great track record of picking up free agents and having them work out on our team. The man's of a workhorse. All he's going to do is put in work all the time.
Yeah, and for that, go ahead, one more.
I was just going to say that everybody's criticizing, he's going downhill, he's not producing. I don't blame him on that. I blame the defensive coordinator on that. They don't move him around. They put him in the same spot where everybody plays him and knows where he's going to play the whole game, and then he still is a disruptor, even though they know what he's going to do and where he's going to be the whole game.
Yeah, man, thanks for the call. And I'm anxious, more so anxious. I mean, obviously, you want to hear about how the negotiations went as much as he's willing to unveil when he talks at training camp. But I'm more so anxious to hear what TJ Watt has to say at camp about the idea of being used in multiple ways on this defense this year, because that was a huge gripe from the fan base, and I will lump myself into that conversation completely. More so than TJ Watt being a leader on this defense, and again, I understand the argument of they haven't won a playoff game with him. Well, in the same time frame, the guy has had more sacks than anyone in the NFL, and they wouldn't be in those playoff games without his services. They are 1-10 lifetime when TJ Watt is on the team but doesn't play. That stinks. They are much closer to having a top three pick in the NFL draft year in and year out than they are a playoff team when he doesn't play. Mike in Ambridge is on the fan. Hey, Mike, good evening.
Hey, man, I'm like 100% for it. That was a great move, Mark. How can you argue with TJ Watt? Come on, man.
Well, and that's the thing, too. That's the thing.
You don't know much about football if you don't think he's like one of the best players on our team and how everybody rallies around him. That's the whole idea of being the best player. Look at Michael Jordan. They rallied around him, all of them, no matter who it was, right?
Yeah, and again, like, I will entertain the argument of the collapse last year, him going radio silent and them not winning a playoff game with him on the roster. But at the end of the day, they are a better team with him than without him.
100%.
And this move doesn't financially cripple the Steelers in any way, shape, or form. So I just don't really understand the argument of, he's 31 years old and he's making too much money. It's not really impacting the Steelers one way or the other. They're not paying a quarterback, and it's not your money. So why are we so upset about a generational talent getting big time money? That's how it works. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling about the situation.
I hear you. I heard Mueller earlier complain. I'm like, what? Do you know anything about the game of football, Mueller? What are you talking about?
Mulsey's a good guy.
You have to be on a team is a team. It's not just one guy.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. I love Mulsey. He was very much on the other side of the argument, but Mulsey knows ball. Frank in Chicago talking about TJ Watt. Frank, if you're listening on the Odyssey app or the YouTube stream, thanks for doing so out of the area. What's on your mind?
I am. I live in Pittsburgh, but I'm traveling out here for business.
Okay.
I want to say, like, it's actually good to hear somebody take a non-controversial position of TJ Watt signing was a good thing. It's so easy to say how bad it is. If they don't sign TJ Watt and they have 12 sacks last year, this whole town is going to be yelling about how cheap the Roonies are. Why didn't they sign TJ Watt? Why didn't they sign TJ Watt? And the fact is, if they sign their best player, if he runs out of gas, he runs out of gas. But it was the right move because the team is better. And wouldn't it be nice if the Pirates would sign their best player to a long-term agreement, and so that guy could be pitching in this city for years to come?
Yeah.
Easy to pitch about or complain about the Rooney. Sorry, easy to complain about the Roonies. They spend the money. It would be nice if the baseball owner would do the exact same thing.
That's a great point, Frank.
And then we wouldn't be worrying about whether this team can get the baseball team could get to 500. We'd be talking about, oh, just making the playoffs is just good enough. Wouldn't that be a great conversation to have about the Pirates?
Bingo, so, Frank.
That's all I have.
Appreciate it, man. Travel safe, get home safe, and thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. You can also listen to the Fan Evening Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts as well. 412-928-9370. That is the number to chime in. More of that. How do you feel about the TJ Watt extension? Yay or nay? 412-928-9370. More phone calls in the next segment, but coming up at the top of the hour, we'll head on out to Indianapolis. Steelers superfan and social media personality Joey Molinaro will join the fold, and we'll talk about the TJ Watt extension and how he feels about the Steelers heading into 2025. But until then, 412-928-9370, how do you feel about Trent Jordan Watt being a Steeler for at least the next four seasons and for the amount of money he is making? Coming up later on in the show as well, and I wanted to obviously bury it a little bit because I wanted to give everybody out there a chance to sound off on this massive news, but we're going to play a little training camp buy or sell. I asked producer Joel Nelson, who is a good guy and a smart guy, to come up with four or five training camp takes, and I will either buy or sell them, but we're going to call it, what did I say we were going to call it, punt or go for it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, so Joel and I will do that. That's coming up much later in the show, but your phone calls at 412-928-9370 on TJ Watt's contract extension will very much take precedence. So again, pick up that phone, dial 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson's got a fan headline, and then we'll be right back on the Fan Evening Show. I'm still blown away by this Coldplay Kiss Cam story. Joel, the CEO in question put out a statement. First couple of paragraphs, blah, blah, blah. I'm disappointed, blah, blah, blah. I apologize. And then at the end, I also want to express how troubling it is that what should have been a private moment became public without my consent. I don't know. Maybe don't go to a public place like a concert and canoodle with a coworker when you have a wife at home.
It feels
fascinating,
like a
idea.
Dramatic step from him hugging her to if they were just standing side by side. If they're just standing side by side, probably not going to have a lot of people bat an eye unless anybody specifically knows those people.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you see on Kiss cams? I mean, like the camera operators and producers of the scoreboard stuff at insert sporting arena or venue here that do the Kiss cam, they don't know if a guy and a girl sitting next to each other. They might just happen to be sitting there and have no idea. How many times do you, when you see that, you go, they put a man and a woman on a Kiss cam sitting next to each other and they're like, oh no. And it's like, oh, they just happen to be sitting next to each other. If they were just standing next to each other, like you said, it would have been a, oh, haha, no, we actually work together. And you could play it off that way.
Yeah, pretty much. And they were not having this conversation, and this thing is not going haywire for both those families.
Yeah, so don't take it out on the people in charge of the Coldplay concert for your life's being flipped upside down. All right, back to TJ Watt, whose life is not flipped upside down. He's got some serious cash. He's now the highest paid player, non-quarterback in NFL history, and I want you guys to react to it at 412-928-9370. David and Steve are on hold. David called in first. Steve, we'll get to you in a second, but David in West Point, New York is with us on the Fan now. What's up, man?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What do you think?
Yeah, so listen, being born in Pittsburgh and then living my entire life in New York, I've always prided myself on how smart of fans we are in Pittsburgh. And to hear these callers call in and say how ridiculous this move is, it just baffles me. I mean, Omar Khan's job is, you know, to assess where we are year over year, next year, 5 years, whatever it may be. And it's obvious whether we agree or disagree with him. The Steelers think that, and Omar Khan thinks, that we have a chance to win right now. So for them not to sign TJ Watt this year would have been baffling to me. And listen, I'm someone who thinks that Myles Garrett is probably at this point in their career, despite maybe what it says on paper, is probably a better player than TJ Watt. But are we going to just let him walk over $1 million a year? I mean, that's just, you know, given how great of an organization we are, it would just be mind-boggling. And the minimal, like, implications that it has financially on us from a salary cap standpoint, and I know everyone says, well, money's money. Yeah, money's money, but, you know, money's not just money in the NFL. If you have the room, spend it. And then the folks who say, you know, well, we should be trading him for, listen, we're right before training camp. We're not going to get anyone for TJ Watt right now that's going to improve our team this year. Can we get draft picks that may you know help us later? We're loaded in draft picks right now. I just don't understand how anyone could see this as not a good move for the Steelers. So I completely agree with what you said.
Yeah, David, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you listening on the Odyssey app too, or on the YouTube stream. And that's the thing about it is, whether or not you think this team is good enough to win right now, win a championship right now, most of the time in professional sports, it boils down to A or B. A, and the direction teams can take. A being, we feel like we can win right now, or B being, we need to rebuild. Or C, Ben Charrington being the general manager of your team. That's neither here nor there. But right now, the Steelers have gone with option A. They feel internally that they can win right now, and that is the way that they are attacking this offseason. When you pick a plan, you obviously have to stick to it. Right? If you are driving from point A to point B, you're going to want to get there the fastest way possible. If you want to win a Super Bowl and you think that you can win a Super Bowl, you get there the fastest way possible. Not having TJ Watt on your roster is not the fastest way possible. Again, you could either agree or disagree that this team can win a Super Bowl right now. I don't think that they can. That's more so the quarterback situation. That's a conversation of all days, especially this one, for a different day. But if the Steelers say we can win right now, and that's the strategy we are going to take, we want our favorite teams to follow suit. And saying we can win right now, but TJ Watt, we're going to trade you to Washington for a boatload of draft picks, that doesn't do anything for 2025. Steve in San Diego is on the fan now. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how's it going, boss?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Not too bad. I'm walking down the 101 right now. I got the ocean on my right. I got cars on my left. But anyway, T.J. Watt signing is awesome. I agree with them signing him completely. But I also, on my old school thinking, is like, dude, you're on the contract for one more year. Play it out and do what you do. Make a big splash this year. And you know what? The Steelers have done a lot of un-Steeler-like things, like trading another draft pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick and so forth. And they're doing a lot of un-Steeler-like things that have been done over the years. Let him play it out and see what happens. What's he going to do? Sit out and not collect a couple million dollars for a year and see what happens? I do agree with